Thank you so much. All right, Romans chapter number 1. Well, it is good being the only church in America that has services at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. So it's working, amen. I am grateful for all of your hospitality and kindness to me and Jeannie. I'm grateful for the very, very generous love offering. It's certainly more than I am worth or deserve, but it meets great needs in our life. We go a lot of places and preach, and you know, the love offering is $500 to $800, and you know, the church I pastor is small, and so between the church that I pastor, at least 50% of the places that we go, it doesn't cover our weekly expenses, not counting bills you pay, just tithes and offerings, taxes, and travel. Half of the weeks of my life don't cover those three things. And so this is a great blessing. It's a big help. I can't tell you how grateful we are that you treat us kindly. And I feel like a lot of churches I go to, I'm a burden being there. I don't know why I'm there. I don't know why they have the meeting. Bringing some tuna fish sandwiches is a burden, and me being there is a burden, and wherever I'm staying is a burden, and the offering's a burden, and just everything's a burden. Why do you even have the meeting, you know? And you have always treated us like we were a blessing to you. You have blessed us in accommodations, food, fellowship. Thank you for being a friendly church. You know, y'all always, all the kids come around, shake hands. Every person in the church comes around, shakes, greeting everybody. I appreciate it so much. I appreciate you raising the kids right. And y'all have some fine young people here, which mean you have fine parents here. Had a great conversation with Lucas this morning about deer hunting before the service. I asked him if he would take me deer hunting with him and let me kill one of his deers. And he said, "I don't know." So I wasn't going to leave it alone. So I said, you don't think you could invite me to come hunting with you sometime?" And he said, "Well, I'll have to ask my dad." I said, "Do you think me and you could just work something out? Maybe just between us, and you could give me permission, and then we could tell your dad that you said it was okay." And this is what he said. I'm quoting Lucas now. He said, "I'm sorry, Brother Gullick. I'm not in charge of scheduling." He just walked off. That's it. He just walked off. So just so you don't misunderstand now, if he invited me to come, I wouldn't go hunting with Lucas. I wouldn't kill one of his deer. Y'all don't buy me a license. Don't invite me on a hunt. I'm not coming. I'm not coming to Texas to hunt. I can't shoot it off my own land. I don't want to. Now, if Lucas would load one up, tie it out behind my house, don't tell me it's tied out, then I would do that. But anyways, train these kids up right. That's what I'm talking about. About church, about God, about the Bible, about deer hunting, everything else. Just keep doing the good job that you're doing. And we appreciate it so, so much, all you do. We're just always refreshed. Thank you for what you do for your pastor and how you honor him and his family and follow his leadership. All the good singing and music. Just exceptional what God is doing here with you folks. And it's a privilege and honor for us to be able to come and be a part of it. This Biden bomb you dropped on us tonight, is that something new? Did that come out today or?
A few days ago.
Okay, I had not heard. Wow, you know, I mean, when you think this train wreck couldn't get any worse,
yeah.
You know, you hear something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're in a mess. We're just in a mess, and I think Romans 1 talks about. where we're at. Romans chapter 1. Now, I've been starting to read every night at verse 18, and I've been selectively reading verses down through verse 32. And these verses that I have been reading in Romans 18 through 32 are verses that contain the word know or known or knew or understood, and then, of course, the word God. So I've been preaching about knowing God, knowing God. That's what this passage is about. Notice in verse 18 it begins with the word for. For. Now that's a conjunction. That means you cannot understand verse 18 through 32 without backing up to verse 17. Now notice it begins with the word for. That's another conjunction. That means you ain't getting verse number 17 without verse number 16. Now notice verse 16 begins with the word for. That's another conjunction. Which means you can't get verse 16 without verse 15. So I've been preaching verse 18 through 32. Tonight I'm going to preach verse 15 through 17. Verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then verse 18 through 32, we've already been studying about knowing God. Knowing God. The technical title is the epistemology of theology. Epistemology is the study of how you know what you know is real, right, true, and truth. How do you know what you know is right? How do you know what you know is real? How do you know it's true and truth? Epistemology is how you know what you know. Theology is the study of God. Combining that together, knowing God is knowing how you know what you know about God is real and right and true and truth. Do you know God tonight? How do you know that you know God tonight? What do you know that you know God tonight? When did you come to know what you know about God that is right tonight? Do you know? And so I said a few services ago, contrary to popular opinion, I do not have a photographic memory. I don't even have a good memory. Can't remember what you gave me. Can't remember. Listen, you can tell me the poem from last night. Tonight, I wouldn't remember. I said, oh, that's a good one. I don't have a good memory. So I don't even remember when I told you all this. What is this, Sunday night? But big point number one was this. You do know God. You do know God. From this passage in Romans 1, I showed you, you do know God. And I titled that, You Know. You Know. And then this morning I said something number two, where we built on the fact that you do know God, and I told you, you don't know God. And I titled that, No, You Don't Know. And if you don't respond to what you do know, you will come to a place where you don't know. If you don't respond to what you do know, you'll lose what you do know and come to a place that you don't know. God will hand you over to what you don't know when you lose what you do know. This is the most educated society who has ever lived on the face of the earth tonight. We have more educated people in America than we've ever had before. And yet we have more people in America on mental psychotic medications, antidepressants, than any other nation on the face of the earth. Do you think we're becoming more stable and more sound and smarter and wiser? No. You do know God. You know. You don't know God. No, you don't. No. Tonight I want you to see you can know God. You can know God. Am And my title tonight is, yes, you can know. If you don't respond to what you do know, you will come to a place where you don't know and end up in a place where you can't know. But if you respond to what you do know, God will reveal to you what you don't know so that you can know. That you know God. Did you notice those conjunctions that tie verse 15 to all that comes after it down to verse 32? And the first thing Paul talks about in this passage is the gospel. He talks about the gospel. He says that he is ready to preach the gospel, and then in verse 16 said, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to see tonight that yes, you can know God. You can know God personally. You can know God legitimately, intimately, and ultimately, but only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, I want you to see that you can know God through the facts of the gospel. Yes, you can know God through the facts of the gospel. Paul mentions the gospel of Jesus Christ in verse 16 and then gives the facts of the gospel in verse number 17 where he says, in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God, and it is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is the facts of the gospel. You can know God by the facts of the gospel. See, you can know God through creation and your conscience in a general way. But you can only know God in a personal way through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can know about God. You can know that there is a God through creation, through your conscience. But you can only know God personally, who He is, what His name is, and what He has done to save you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The creation will tell you about the existence of God. It'll tell you about the power of God. It'll tell you about the glory of God. It'll tell you about the eternality of God. But only the gospel can tell you about the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God that is found in Jesus Christ. Yes, you can know God, but only through the facts of the gospel. Verse number 17 distills for us the two primary facts of the gospel. They are the saving truth of justification and regeneration. The just, justified people shall live. The just, justified people will be regenerated. The just shall live by faith. That is the fact of the gospel. I have already shown you that through our moral knowledge of God and mortal knowledge of God, we have a problem tonight. Every one of us has a moral problem with God in that we have broken His moral laws. Every one of us. Every one of us has a mortal problem with God, knowing that because we have broken His moral laws, we are guilty and we are mortal. We are going to die for the sins that we have committed. You have a moral and mortal problem that the creation cannot give you an answer to, that your conscience cannot give you an answer to. But I want to tell you, the gospel gives us the answer to the moral problem, and it is justification through Jesus Christ. The gospel gives us the answer to our mortal problem. It is regeneration through Jesus Christ. To be justified means to be declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Christ, God takes guilty, law-breaking sinners like you and I. And because Jesus bore our sins, God, a holy God, declares us righteous in His Son and gives us the moral righteousness of Jesus Christ as a free gift. But not only that, He gives us not only the moral righteousness, but the immortal life of Jesus Christ as a gift when He saves us through the power of the gospel. Those are the great facts of the gospel tonight, that God justifies, declares us righteousness, and gives us life in Jesus Christ. And if you know God and the saving fact of justification and regeneration, then thank God, yes, you can know God tonight. Number two, yes, you can know God through the facts of the gospel. And yes, you can know God through the faith of the gospel. We are told in verse 17, y'all thought I wasn't going to preach tonight, didn't you? I fooled you this morning with that 15-minute sermon, didn't you? You thought you was coming back down deep in the secret places of your heart. You thought, I bet He's got another 15 minutes for us. No, you're getting a 25-minute sermon tonight. I'm just going to tell you right now. So you may as well loosen up and take a deep breath. I didn't give you no points this morning. No one, no two, no three, no points, no nothing. You're getting three of them tonight, so hang on. Yes, you can know God by the facts of the gospel. Number two, you can know God by the faith of the gospel. Verse 17, how does God reveal this gospel to? He reveals it from faith to faith. Did you know to believe in the existence of God does not require any faith at all? I hear people say this all the time. It's just not true. They'll say, now, for you to believe in God and the existence of God and the existence of a creator, you know, it takes faith. And so, you know, those that believe in God operate by faith. And then you have the evolutionist over here, and to not believe in God, it's all just a matter of faith. Everything's about faith. If you believe in God, you do it by faith. If you don't believe in God, you're doing that by faith, because we just can't prove the existence of God. That is not what Romans 1 says. Look again in verse number 20. To believe in the existence of God as a creator is something that you can clearly see. It is clearly seen. Is that what it says? Now you know 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now if you can clearly see something, you don't need no faith for it. If you can't see it, you're going to have to take some things on faith. Are you with me? It doesn't take any faith to believe in God. It does not take any faith to believe that God is the creator of all that exists. It doesn't take any faith to believe that there is moral truth and a moral standard of right and wrong. You've already got that in you from the birth. It does not take any faith to believe that you're going to die and that your soul is going to live on and that death is not the end. You've already got that from birth. You can see it and you already know every bit of that. It does not require faith. But if you're going to be saved and you're not going to know God in salvation, and you're going to know His love and His grace and His mercy and forgiveness, that's going to take a revelation from God. That ain't something you find out and know because you're smart or because you went to Bible college or built a Christian library where you had the right authors that you read after. God has to reveal it, and God has revealed it in His Word, and it's going to take some faith for you to believe in Jesus and to believe that Jesus died for your sins, and that if you repent and believe, God will save you and change your life. That, my friend, is a matter of faith. If you're going to know that you know Him personally, if you're going to know God ultimately and intimately, now you're going to have to know Him not only by the facts of the gospel, but by the faith of the gospel. Verse 16 and 17 is clear. That means you're going to have faith in the gospel. What does it mean to have faith in the gospel? It means that you're not trusting yourself and what you've done for Christ. It means you're trusting Christ and what Christ has done for you. You know, we got a lot of Baptist church members. They ain't never put no faith in the gospel. They think because they've been raised in a Christian home, been raised right, and hadn't done what everybody else has done, ain't been as bad as everybody else, they've avoided the big sins, come to church every time the door is open, pray every day, read some scriptures every day, put money in the plate when it comes around, bring food to all the meals, help mow the yard, help wash the dishes. They think God's going to let them into heaven. They're okay. Think that they know God for the things that they've done for Jesus Christ. But that's not faith in the gospel tonight. Faith in the gospel is not your faith in yourself and what you've done for Jesus. It's faith in Jesus and everything that Jesus has done for you to save you. Do you have faith in the gospel tonight? Number two, do you have faith from the gospel? Verse 17. God reveals the gospel from faith. Y'all ever read your Bible real close? You should. From faith to faith. If you're really going to know God tonight, yes, you can, but if you are, if you're really going to know Him, you'll only know Him by faith in the gospel that comes from the gospel. Some of us got the idea we're saved because we just had faith in us, and some people we know ain't saved because they just didn't have faith in them. I got faith, they don't have faith. I mean, I'm just saved, you know, I'm just saved by my faith. Did you know that all humans have the same amount of faith in God? At least initially, originally, all of us end up, we all have the same amount of faith. Zero. Romans 10, 17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't have faith that originates inside of you. You've got to have more than the creation. You've got to have more than the moral law of God. You're going to have something written down in the word of God that is shared with you, preached to you, given to you, and faith is in that word of God. It's in the Bible, and when you hear that faith that is in the Bible, the faith from the Bible will get inside of you so that you have faith in the gospel that is faith from the gospel. Appreciate all three amens at that. From faith to faith. I've heard it preached all my life. We're saved by His grace and our faith. No, you ain't. You're saved by His grace and His faith. And then nothing good come from you. Everything you got from God, including the faith that you have. Imparted to you graciously by God when His word came with effectual call and spoke to your heart. And that word is something that imparts that faith. And when you receive that gift of faith, by faith, you go beyond just what your eyes can see and your physical ears can hear. And that faith links you up with God so that you know God and you know that you know God. Yes, you can know by the facts of the gospel and by the faith of the gospel. And lastly, number three, by the force of the gospel. Now look at what Paul said in verse 16 again, and I'm done. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What is the gospel? How are you going to know God? Can you know God? Can you really know God? Can you really know that you know God? Can you know what you know that you know God? Can you know when you know that you know God? Can you know how that you know God? Yes, you can. It'll be by the facts of the gospel and by the faith of the gospel, but it also comes by the force of the gospel when the gospel becomes the power of God in your heart and in your life. There's a lot of people that know the gospel story and they know the gospel truth and they know the gospel doctrine, but they do not know the gospel power. I'm not just asking you tonight if you know the gospel as a concept. I'm not just asking you if you know the gospel is the truth. I'm asking you, do you know the gospel is the power of God in your life? The dunamis of God in your life. Has the power of the gospel ever touched you, exploded inside of you, and changed your heart and life? Oh, yes, you can know God. You do know God partially. You don't know God properly. But you can know God personally. Personally. It's not enough for you. You're standing and bowing your heads tonight. It's not enough for you to know God just as a concept. Just to believe in the existence of God. It's not enough for you just to believe that the Bible is true. You don't know that you know that you know God tonight. Until all of those concepts and all of those truths and all of those doctrines become a reality to you, it becomes real. It becomes the driving force and power of your life. Do you know God tonight? Yes, you can if you believe the gospel.
So our musicians come, our song director, as we get ready to pray. And maybe you're here tonight and God's been tugging at your heartstring. And you say, preacher, I've been everything I could be and do everything I could do. Except get saved, and God's been knocking on my heart's door. As we get ready to sing the invitation, if that's your case, I hope you'll come, make that known, and receive Him in the free pardon of sin. Now, Father, bless, I pray, the word to every heart. We pray you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. May somebody tonight feel the presence of God. Hear the keys rattling to unlock them from the prison house and to birth them into the family of God. Whatever the need is, thou knowest. I pray you'd finish it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 157.
You need to come. Come quickly. 157 while we sing.